I want to welcome everyone there on our Wednesday night service. And you know, you're probably saying, look at this, these guys are sitting around a table. Well, we thought that we would have a calm, cool, collective discussion, and we'll call it our round type square table discussion. We wanted to bring this in to the home, so to say, and make it feel more comfortable as far as our discussion. But rather than having just one person, I thought maybe we'd have the other two pastors here in on discussions. And I believe what I'd like to start out with tonight is, why is it that we have this fire burning inside of us that is causing us to basically forsake everything and bring this message across? Well, for one, we all have had an experience where we will say the divine universe has touched our heart to cause us to want to declare this truth, because we are just convicted about the people and their sufferings and why they're suffering. And a lot of the reasons why they're suffering is because of lack of knowledge. I've had a dramatic encounter, and we were talking about it the other day at our kitchen table. They say you should be writing a book, and we are in the midst of writing a book. But with that being said, I was taken to a heavenly place for 3 earthly days, and was given to me the mysteries and the ancient secrets, I would say, to why we're here. And if you're logging on to our website, I'd like you to continue to follow the messages, because it'll bring clarity and understanding of why we're here, speaking and declaring this message. We're not here really to build a church or a religion. We're here to build a sanctuary inside of you. I believe this is a world movement, a worldwide movement, where the world is looking for truth. They want a relationship with God, but they don't want to be transformed into a certain image based on religion. Sunday, we started speaking about a message on the kingdom of God. And, what is the kingdom of God? And it's actually a place. It's a inner world, and it's alive. And this world is inside of each and every one of us. And this is where we build a habitation for God to dwell. And this is the reason why I believe that we're here with this fire burning inside of us, so that we can declare this message. If you look back when Jesus' time, he was trying to bring this message across to those that were around him in this time. He had the same fire burning inside of him. He wasn't about religion. I believe religion in itself has a peace. Everybody has a peace. The Judaism has a peace. Christianity has a peace. And we'll even go as far as how many denominations are just in the Christianity world. So each and every one of them have a peace. Then you have the Asian world, and you have the Muslim world, and then any other worlds that I missed, I don't know. They all have a peace. But I'm here with Pastor Sam and Pastor Tim, and they're going to interact with us in a discussion. And, I just want to continue to bring this message across to the world out there, because it's not based on do's and don'ts, rights and wrongs, but it's about establishing a kingdom, a relationship with God, a place for God to dwell in. You know, everyone thinks that God is out there somewhere in the universe, when it is true, but he's also wanting to come inside here. He doesn't dwell with us yet. You know, in the book of Revelations, let me see if I can find the last scripture here. It says, behold, well, it also speaks about how God dwells with man now. Yeah, I think so. Let me check this out. I even had my notes from last Sunday, and I believe it's in the last part of my message. Yeah, here it is. It says, Revelations chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Yep, and I think that's so awesome because this is God's plan. You know, he created us, and then he created a tabernacle inside of us so that his spirit could dwell. You know, the world is suffering, and they're suffering because they don't know the truth. And a lot of it has to do with mind control. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Religion isn't going to save you, but truth is. And if you can begin to change the way you're thinking, you can actually change your world. And there's a new world. It's called the kingdom of God, but I want to call it the inner world. You know why I want to call it the inner world? Because the world is calling it the inner world. And I want to relate to the world. What do you think, Tim?
I agree with you. I mean, there's a place that's within that God wants to dwell, and we need to create that place for him to dwell. You know, and that's why he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because there's so many different influences that go on within us, and we have to determine which is the correct influence, you know, because the Holy Spirit dwells in each person, and we have to be able to discern which is the Holy Spirit and which is the other clutter that's going on as far as influencing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to get to that, because this is what it's called, having discernment. We need to have discernment to make judgments, to begin to decide. The beautiful thing about this truth, this movement that God is bringing to the world through us, is that the Spirit of God is what directs us and leads us and lives our life. It's not anyone that controls us or tells us what to do. This ministry here, this movement that God has called us, is not one to tell you what to do. We don't want you to do anything other than hear the voice, that still small voice that's inside of you, and to learn to follow that. As you begin to learn how to follow that, we're actually developing inside of you righteousness of God. We are bringing the righteousness of God in you by training you and teaching you how to hear the leading of God's voice within yourself. And I know that when Pastor Sam would come to me and he would say, hey, what do you think about this or that? I begin to lead him in the sense of, first thing I say is, well, how do you feel? Let's look at the truth. Let's look at the facts. And then we begin to, uncover the will of God in our lives, because God begins to direct us and lead us by our heart. And this is where he dwells. He doesn't dwell in a building. He doesn't dwell on the mountain. He doesn't dwell in a sanctuary that you build with candles. He doesn't dwell in a denomination of any sets. You know, I said on Sunday, pick one. You want to know God? Pick a religion. Which one do you want? Do you want Judaism? Do you want Christianity? Do you want Hindu? Do you want, or they call it Hindi? Do you want Buddhist? Do you want Muslim? What religion do you want to find God? Go ahead, pick one. You'll never find them. You'll find rules and regulations. You'll find do's and don'ts. You'll find traditions of men, but you'll never really find God. You'll learn how to feed the poor. You'll learn how to take care of widows. You'll learn how to pray to what I call the pillow God. But you'll never have answers, and you'll never be able to be led and be guided. You'll be lost. I know this because I have met many, 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 many Christians in my journey, and others that are in different denominations like Judaism and Muslims and Asian Buddhists, those Hindus, and they're all lost. They don't know where God dwells. But getting back to that inner voice and how you feel, I was sharing with Sam, and Pastor Sam's here, and he'll share with us his experience about God and how he dwells.
You know, the Bible says that we didn't choose God, but God chose us. And I had known Tim prior to coming here, and God put a conviction in our hearts to start searching. We, both of us went to church already. We both served a ministry that was a ministry of works. And God put a conviction in us, and I don't know why God chose us, but he saw a heart in us that was like his. And that's what the Bible says. And there was a conviction in us, and we started searching. And it, not really hard, but, you know, nonchalantly just saying, feeling the conviction and following that conviction. The conviction was saying, go to this new place and then go to this new place. And every place led us closer to Pastor Jim. The day I walked into this church, I had finally found a spirit and a heart that was like mine. And, you know, something happened when we got together. I spent hours and hours and hours weeping. Like, my spirit was so happy that it found a place, it found a home. And this place was different. You know, I had been in churches and served ministries that fed the poor in streets of Camden and gave clothes out. And it was a works-based ministry, but nobody was getting healed. No one was getting set free. No one was getting delivered. The same people would come back every single week with the same problems and never, ever get healed. And Tim and I really weren't healed either. We had a religious background. We weren't free because we didn't know that how to follow a conviction. We had a conviction because God gave it to us, but we didn't know what it was. We just had a yearning to find something that made sense to us. We had a yearning saying, I'm not happy where I'm at. I'm not happy where I'm at. I need to find a place of peace. I need to find a place of joy. And that yearning never stopped. And it got harder and it got stronger every day until we started stepping in the direction of our conviction. And when we came here, we met Pastor Jim. And the truth that he had was a real truth that started setting us free from the bondage that we had been in from religion. See, religion tries to divide, it tries to separate, it tries to bring a self-righteousness to you so that it says that your works are making you whole, your works are making you righteous, your works are what God wants, but he doesn't want your works, he wants your surrender. He wants you to lay your life down to your conviction, because God himself wrote a law on every one of our hearts with his own hand. And that law is the conviction that's inside of us that's going to take us every step of our life to find that place of peace, to find that place of joy, and find that place of freedom. And when we came in here, Pastor Jim was just saying he didn't know the Bible at all. See, Tim and I had been in religion, but Pastor Jim really had nothing to do with religion. God plucked him out of the world, and he smacked him, and his testimony is a miracle. He got downloaded by God within weeks, and Tim and I had been serving ministries for years, and we were still in bondage, but Pastor Jim started teaching us the ways of following your conviction, of following your heart, and trust God inside of you, and he lives in there, and the things that he taught us brought us to a place of freedom, and, you know, we're grateful, and, you know, that gratefulness is, it never stops. It never stops. We're grateful every single day that God called us and brought us to this place, and we're grateful that God set us free. And because he set us free, we have this fire inside of us to set others free, because we know that this place is real. We know that the truth that's spoken in this place really will set you free. Really, the truth in here will really, the truth might hurt, but it will set you free. And we'll bring you to a place of peace and joy in your heart, and it'll change you forever. And that never stops. You know, when we minister to people, there's no greater feeling in the world when you're talking to somebody and they receive the truth that you have. There's no greater feeling to see someone change right in front of you by the words that God's speaking through you, because these words are truth. You know, it seems simple to follow the conviction, and sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't, but you know, we have the truth here, and it starts with the conviction of your heart, and that's where it begins.
Well, we believe that we're not here to tell you really something new. We're here, and we believe that the truth is already inside of you. We're just going to bring witness to how you feel. And that's the real awesome thing about, I would say, this movement, this call that God has put on our lives. The reason is because the whole world, God loves the whole world. And he's not trying to teach us anything new. He didn't expect us to be led astray and walk around aimlessly. To be honest with you, anyone can find God if they really wanted to. His word, this book here called the Bible, which I love this book. It's the only book that I have been able to find that bears witness of what has happened to me. That book is a great book, and in that book there's a lot of mysteries in there. I mean, you could take some paraphrases or some phrases and, you know, interpret them the way you want to, but just listen to me and I'll tell you all about it in a subtle way. So when we are trying to bring to you what you have inside of you, God says that if you seek me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, you will find me. And I truly believe that there's a lot of people out there that know that I wouldn't say they know that they're following God, but they're following God. And they don't even know that they're following God, but they're following God. Because there has been a lot of people who have entered, I would call, the promised land, and you ask them, so how did you do it? They just said, I followed the desires, and I didn't give up.
That's it.
You know, I never gave up. That's cool. I just kept, you know, holding dear to my heart, and I just had lots of failures, but I picked myself back up, and I kept on going. And I want to say to that person, you're born again and you don't even know it. Yep. You know, you have God and you don't even know it. You have righteousness, and let me just help you tweak it a little bit better so that you can feel confident about who you are and your salvation and all that other stuff. Tim has something to share, and I would like to have him share with what he has on his heart.
Yeah, I just wanted to expand upon the witness. You know, the three of us here, and Pastor Kurt's not here tonight, but you know, he did a miraculous work in all four of us. You know, all of us had our own bondages, and we were in bondage for a long time. But God did miracles in our life and to set us free. And it wasn't just for our benefit, but it's for everyone's benefit. Because we're all four of us are witnesses to you. And we, what we witness to is the truth that's within you. I had a friend of mine the other week who called me up, and I've been talking to this guy for about 4 years, and I don't preach to him or anything, but I just speak the truth with him, and you know, we get to know each other, and he was asking me for advice, and I was able to share what was in his heart. God allowed me to reveal his heart, and it bared witness with what was in his heart, and he came to a conclusion what he needed to do, and I said, look, for the one part, you feel like you're obligated to do this, but your heart is telling you that you want to do this. I said, you have to follow that conviction within your heart. Forget the obligation. Forget what people think of you and what the outcome's going to be from what they say. You got to follow your heart, because one thing I do know is if you have a conviction and you're being stirred to go a certain way and you don't follow it, regret sets in. And nobody ever wants to have regret. Because I tell you what, you could carry regret for eternity. You know, there's people that miss the conviction in their heart and following the truth. And when they pass from here in this earth, there's a regret that happens. And how are you supposed to get rid of that regret? It's very, very difficult to get rid of the regret. So this guy actually texted me today, and he's like saying, I made my decision last night, bud. Thanks for the advice, and I appreciate the love, homie. So when you minister with truth, but you minister in love, they're going to receive it because they're actually speaking the truth that's already within them, and it's bearing witness. And they, look, every single person, when you can reveal truth in them, they're going to know that it's true. There's no denying it. And they, if they follow it, it will set them free, because the Bible even says the truth sets you free. Nothing else. There's nothing else in here. Religion does not set you free. It actually puts you in deeper bondage. And sometimes you even think that, you know what, it puts you on a pedestal up here and you can't repent. You can never change the way you're thinking because you already think that you arrived. And, you know, the Apostle Paul even says in the scripture, I haven't arrived. I haven't achieved anything. I'm constantly repenting every single day. I'm constantly searching my heart to see what I need to do. You know, and that's the way we operate. You know, we haven't arrived. God just chose us because he needed a vessel. He needed somebody to get this word and this message out to help people get free from their bondages. And you know what? It wasn't by our choice. I mean, God did a work on us to get us to the point where we are today. You know, it's a constant battle every single day to try and sit there and look within your heart to see what needs to be done. But if you can take the time every single day and just wait upon God, wait upon your heart and say, okay, you know what, God, what am I supposed to do here today? You'll see a conviction, or you'll feel an inspiration to do something. And when you follow it, you know, you're righteous in God's eyes. He says, you know what? Well done, my faithful servant, for obeying me. You know, the Bible even says obedience is better than sacrifice. I know so many Christians, so many people out there that sacrifice things and thinking that they're holy. And God's saying, that's nothing to me. He says that's even like filthy rags to him. It smells, it stinks. But what he appreciates, though, is just the obedience to the voice that's deep within. Because he instilled it there. He put it there for a reason so that we can get to know him. And he says, when you follow that command, or you follow that voice, that conviction, you are righteous in his eyes. And you know what? When you find righteousness within him and within yourself, you got peace and joy that goes along with it, because that's truly the kingdom of God.
That is awesome. So let's get back into where we're about to build and lead and instruct. The world is truly crying out. And I've been receiving some of these statements. I'm on Facebook and stuff like that, and one of the things that intrigues me is they call it the inner world, meets the outer world, and that there's an inner world that exists. And it is so true. You're going to hear us, and we have a lot of religious terminology. And, you know, I want you to know that it's all a play of words. And I want the world to understand it's all a play of words. So I want to excuse ourselves and apologize in advance that our words may seem or sound a traditional religious terminology. When we speak of the kingdom of God, we're actually identifying and speaking about the same thing the world is seeking, called the inner world. You know, there's a place that is alive and it's real, and it literally is our inner world. And, you know, when we speak of God, you know, some of you might interpret God as our creator or the universe. They're just a play of words, but the meaning is the same. When we speak of the King of God, King of the Kingdom of God, and you might be searching and really upset with the church or religion, or you don't want to have anything to do with it, and you're finding God, and you turn us on, and you hear our words, and you'll be like, "Oh, they're religious too," you know. I'm going to hear something like something more like universe, and yeah. Please don't get offended. Just, you know, stay tuned, because our verbiage, we're learning our verbiage. You know,
we've actually been trying to change the religious word aspect and put it into a common sense aspect that everybody can relate to. And God is starting to download it in all of us. And, you know, just bear with us, because when we bring it across, like Pastor's saying, sometimes it might come across as religious, like terminology, but God is starting to give us different meaning and different words to those religious terms that everybody can relate to out there.
Well, here's another point. You know, we're all recognized as pastors. Well, right there, that's a church. You know, I heard you say pastor, and that's a church. Well, yeah, teacher. I want to call myself a spiritualist. Lover of God, firstborn of many, Jesus Christ, hey, you know. But the whole point that we're trying to make is to have an open heart and listen to the meat. You know, don't make a judgment based on our words, but listen to the meat of the word, like repent. It's literally changing the way you're thinking. And I wanted to begin this talk session with the truth, and the matter of the truth is that we have to alternate our thoughts. We have to literally brainwash ourselves into another way of thinking. And your mind is a very powerful object. I believe if you focus and concentrate strong enough, you can begin to do some really awesome and creative things. How many people believe or understand that one? I mean, you can probably take this bottle of water, think about it, you know, and concentrate more on it, and, you know, you could probably make it start shaking, you know, and who knows, maybe start levitating and stuff like that. But the mind has a lot of power. And one of the things that you'll hear us say in here, that you have to change the way you're thinking. And if you don't change the way you're thinking, now you have another mind that is deeper. How many have heard of the third eye? Okay. Now, there's a reason why that terminology is called the third eye. What is that third eye literally seeing? Think about it. Ma'am? What did you say? Spirit. Yes. It's actually seeing the inner world. Okay? And this is what we are bringing across to you, that there is really life, which we call an eternal life, and we're all going to be there one day. We're all going to leave this earth, and we're going to be living in that inner world, which then becomes the universal world, an eternal world. But you'll hear us say eternal life, you know? You'll hear us use words that sound religious. And I want to apologize because, listen, when you're brought up in Brooklyn, you talk like a Brooklyn. If you're brought up in California, you talk like a California. But, you know, we were brought up in a world that was around us that, you know, reflected the church or religion, and we just really were learning our terminology. But we don't want to steer away from our terminology, because our terminology is truth. When we speak about Christ and Jesus, Jesus is a real person 2,000 years ago, and he had the call. He was a prophet, and he had a call to bring this same message that we're bringing. And a matter of fact, he was persecuted and hung on the cross from the religious churches that didn't accept his message. And the reason why was because he was literally tearing down their organizations and allowing the individual to be the church. And so, you know, I want us to basically, we're going to be running out of time soon. But, you know, if we don't begin to alter our thoughts and start changing our thoughts, if we don't start beginning to realize that there is something different. I used to say to people, you have to come to a place of being sick and tired of being sick and tired in order for you to want to even change. You know, we were born and brought up, and we were already brainwashed that this is it. You know, this is it. You know, you wake up every morning. Yeah, you gotta survive and work the hustle and bustle and, you know, fight yourself and try to make money and be able to put food on your table and everything else like that. But in the reality of it, God, his plan was not for you to strive and labor like this. His plan was for you to tap into the inner world and know who he is, so that the inner world can work with the universe and begin to provide all your needs. And all he really wanted you to do was come to a place of redemption so that you can establish that place back to him. That's really all it is. Yeah. But we're so caught up with the world. And God wants us to come out of the world. He doesn't want us to be consumed by the world. And so, you know, one of the things that I'm tired of is seeing people fight and struggle. And, you know, they have imaginations that torment them. How many of us here in this place tonight are tormented by their thoughts? I mean, think about it. They're constantly worrying, and they constantly are walking in fear, and their lives are tormented based on thought. When these imaginations, who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? You have no clue what God's intent, but we stay up all night worrying and tossing and turning when, you know, God is like, you know, you give it to me, I could take care of all things. You know, I've met many people, and a lot of times I already know the outcome. But I won't say anything because I want to watch them, like, squirm. Because then, you know, I can just kind of smile and, you know. If I knew that there was going to be a problem, believe me, I would address it and say, listen, you might want to do this or that, you know, and hope that they can alter their direction. But bottom line is we learn by the things that we suffer. So if they're, you know, squirming enough and they're suffering enough, eventually maybe they'll, you know, say, why were you so peaceful, you know, and I'm over here, I can't sleep, and you're like at peace, and because I tapped in, you know, I tapped into God, who is there to lead us and guide us and to bring us into his kingdom, which his kingdom is peace and joy and righteousness. So I want to just share with those that are listening, it's very important to sit under this call this conviction that we have. Once again, I apologize for the religious terminologies that we use. We're not really here to build a church, but we are here to build a worldwide movement. You know, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. When God calls us, I know that He called us for something big, and this call is a worldwide movement. And I have 10 minutes left, and we got to, you know, bring this to a closure. So I'm going to just, I'm going to end my thing tonight, and I'm going to pass it to Sam and Tim, and they're going to share their ending statement. But my ending statement tonight is, in order to come into this movement, and in order to find peace and joy and a life, I won't even say righteousness yet, because righteousness is put on you by God. You really need to have to begin to start changing the way you're thinking. You really need to come to a place and take the control of your thoughts and begin to pull them down and take control. And the biggest culprit that is tormenting and destroying your life is fear. And I will also say worry, because they go kind of hand in hand. If you're fearing and worrying, you're living in the world. If you don't know God, that's fine. But tonight you can say, I want to know you. And if you truly want to know Him, then begin to start taking the power that's inside of us, which is a gift. He has given us power to overcome these thoughts, and grab hold of them and begin to take control of yourself and stop fearing. Lay it down. Walk away. If you're fearing about something too much, then you're living too much in the world, and God is trying to pull us out of the world. And I understand the difficulties, and sometimes you might feel alone, but they're lies, because you're not alone. And you need to stop telling yourself or believing these lies and take control of yourself. You need self-control. And you will find that if you continue to renew your mind with these truths that were given you, and you listen to my words and do what I'm telling you to do. Now, you might come to me and say, you don't understand. It's impossible. It's hard. Listen, tomorrow is a new day. And you can't change the circumstances that are happening. You can only sit there and watch your life. You can't live your life. You can watch it. And you watch the blessings as you cry out to what I call the God of our universe, the inner world God. And you begin to cry out to Him. Listen, you're going to find changes. Things are going to happen. Your life will be turned around. There are people that are working on your behalf, and you don't even know it. And they have already set things in place and have prepared your future, and you don't even know it. So you need to just stop worrying. Stop fearing. And grab a hold of yourself, and begin to repent.
Pastor Jim spoke a message a while ago called Conviction or Condemnation. And Tim spoke a little while ago, and he said, only the truth will set you free. The Bible says that be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only way to be transformed is by the renewing of your mind. What are you being transformed from? that condemnation, that fear, that worry, that anxiety is always speaking to you. It's never going to work out. It's never going to be. You're never going to get out of your problems. You're always going to have the same problems over and over. Definition of insanity is doing the same thing every single day. The same exact thing. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you eat your dinner, you watch TV for 4 hours, and you go to bed. You get up, you go home, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, you watch TV for 4 hours, and you go to bed. But you look for different results. You wonder, you sit there and you wonder why you feel not at peace. You wonder why you feel condemned. You wonder why you're never, ever going to change. What happens is the truth we speak in here, and Pastor Jim has been speaking it for a long time. What are you being transformed from? It's from that condemnation that's all we hear. You know, if you resist the enemy, then the enemy has to flee. If you resist those voices, if you resist that fear and that worry and that anxiety, if you resist it, but the only way to resist it is to have truth to battle it. Because all those things are is lies. And you're listening to the lie. And that's what puts you in condemnation. That's what says it's never going to change. It's never going to work. I'm never going to come out of my problems. But when you listen to the messages that Pastor Jim Smith, we speak in here, it's truth. And you start developing a foundation of truth. And it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You listen to the messages on glorytothenations.org. Hop on, listen to the messages over and over and over and over and over. You're going to start building a foundation of truth, and you're going to have a weapon to fight against the lies that are condemning you. You're being transformed from something. You're being transformed from condemnation. And then after you're transformed from that, you start following your convictions. See, we don't want you to follow us. Yes, we want you to listen to the words we speak in the meeting because they're truth. But we want you to find the conviction of your heart. Find your life. And that's what we're here for. We're here for you to find your life. And we'll do all we can do for you to find that life inside of you. And that's why we're here.
If I can just leave you with this tonight. If you really, truly want to have a relationship with God in your heart, and you want eternal life, what all of us have done is we've let go. And what you're letting go of is control of your own life. It's no longer your will, but it's God's will. And finding the will of God lives inside and dwells inside your heart. And it's written there. And we had to let go of our own will.
And be honest
with yourself too, because the truth hurts. You know, if you really want to live by the truth will hurt, because the opposite of truth is lie. Amen. And most of us, pretty much everybody, has lived a lie. And the truth is basically setting us free from the lie if we agree with it. But you have to agree with the truth in order for the truth to set you free. But like I said, you have to let go of the control of your life. If not, you'll never come into a relationship with God, because you'll always have a reason. You'll always have an excuse. You always have an answer, and it's not the truth. Because look, there's so many lies and imaginations that live and dwell with inside of our head. If we can't discern what the truth is, we're always going to continue to live the lie, and we'll never come into freedom. So let go.
You know, I always share that there is no God. And you know how true that is, because you need to believe in order for him to be real.
That's right. Out of faith.
So I'll even tell those that are listening around the world and those that are seeking a life, let's just put God off to the side for now. Let's just start getting a life.
Amen. Yeah.
Let's start trying to develop a life, and then we'll bring God into your life. Actually, he'll come and dwell with you, and he'll want to dwell with you, because we've established his dwelling place. And he'll come into your life, and you'll be enlightened to know that he's there. So technically, I don't even have to get you to believe in God. The truth is, I don't even have to show you or try to get you to believe in God. If I can get you to have a life and build that life, get you to find that life, God will come automatically and dwell with you.
Then you'll have a relationship.
And you will, yep, and you will know God, and he will know you. And that relationship will just be put together instantly.
You know, the very moment that you repent, the very moment that you change the way you think, you're automatically forgiven from yourself. See, you have to forgive yourself. And as soon as you change the way you think, it's forgotten. And you move forward, and that's when you start finding your life. When you move forward and you start repenting, you start changing the way you think, that's when life comes in. It's automatically just happens just like that. It's that simple. As soon as you repent, you're forgiven, and you forgive yourself, and you start walking towards that, and it's a beautiful life.
You know, it's really funny, because there are more people that will come to their life, like if you could say, hey, I got a life for you, they'll come to their life before they'll even come to God.
That's right.
Oh, no, I don't want God. But yet, I want a life.
Look at the rich man. You know, there's a parable in the scriptures that talks about a rich man who had all the possessions of this world. And Jesus said, hey, you know, drop those things and come follow me. And he went home dejected because he didn't want to lose his life to find another life. But if you're sick and tired of this life, which most of the people are, lose that life and come into this life, because God has created a life and established it within everybody, and it's there. You just got to find it.
You know, I'll be honest with you. Can I be honest with everybody?
Yeah.
I can care less what you do with your life.
Got to follow convictions.
But the thing is exactly what Sam's saying. I am working on my own righteousness. You know, I have a conviction in my heart that I have to be obedient to and follow. Whether you hear it or not, it really doesn't matter to me. It might sound like I really care, but I really don't.
But the truth is, God cares.
Yes.
We're a bondservant of him, and we're forced to help you, but it's out of love. So he cares. And so
with that being said, you know, I'm just following the conviction and being obedient to God, which is his love for you, and he cares about you, and that's why I'm over here, you know, striving to bring my conviction to the table and bringing this message to you. But, you know, I can lead a horse to water, but I can't make it drink. You know, I've learned.
What Pastor Jim said, it's true. You feel the same way. You don't really care about us. You just care about you. You want to have peace. You want to have joy. You want to have life. Just like he thinks, you think the same way. That's why we're the same. You think the same exact way he just said. You have to be honest with yourself.
Yep. And, you know, and I want to share those that might be in the Christian world. There's a saying that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't die for you. He's sitting there just like I'm sitting here saying, I got a conviction in my heart, and I'm going to follow the conviction in my heart unto death. And if it leads me to the cross and I'm crucified because of my conviction, you know, that's the way it is. It might look like I'm doing this for you, but I'm not really doing this for you. I'm doing it because of my conviction in my heart. And, you know, Jesus basically did the same thing. You know, I've heard that a long time ago when I was speaking in the religious church, and it said that, you know, Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I'm thinking to myself, I didn't even know him. How could he have died for my sins? I didn't even know the guy, you know? So I was like,
the other two guys?
So we love to have fun here. I want you to know that. So we will have fun. But making it serious, all serious said, that, you know, really Jesus followed his conviction, and he died based on the sins of the world by being an example of how to have a life and be righteousness in God's eyes and to come into that eternal life. Yep. So I'd like to say goodnight to everyone. Thank you for listening to our round table square discussion, I guess you could say.
And for next week.
Yeah, and if you have any questions. But we're going to kind of build on this, because I truly believe that this is the beginning of the beginnings. And You know, if we're all seeking for a life, you'll probably want to stay tuned, you know, to find out. You know, there is so much more as far as this truth goes. It is virtually impossible to try to tear down worry and fear, especially when you don't have any foundation in who God is. And if you really don't have a God in your life because you don't believe, you're alone. And it's going to be very hard for you to pull imaginations down. So I want you to learn how to pull imaginations down. I want you to learn how to know that you have spiritual guidances around you, like angels and stuff like that, the Holy Spirit and things like that, to help you pull these imaginations down. But you have to stay tuned next week. Amen? Amen.